Hello and welcome back to the My First Marathon podcast, where we interview runners in all stages of their running careers about their first marathon experiences to prove to you that anyone can run a marathon. My name is Taylor, and today's runner's journey started during a hard season with his wife as they worked through infertility and decided it was time to get healthy. True to form for the two of them, they didn't ease into anything. In fact, they jumped straight into a Spartan race, and running became a staple in their life from there. Along the way, they fell into Charlotte's trail running community, and the idea of running the Charlotte Marathon started to manifest. He jumped into training, and between long runs by feel, a backyard ultra that taught him the hard way about nutrition, and life with a new kindergartner at home, Barry finally signed up for the Charlotte Marathon, ready to check off the milestone he'd been chasing for years. Then race week hit, and everything he'd trained for got tested in a way he never saw coming. What followed was blurry vision, a fading phone battery, a wife chasing him down on foot through the streets of Charlotte, and a finish line that almost wasn't there at all colliding into one of the hardest days of his life. What happened between that starting corral and the finish is a story about grit, about the people who show up when things fall apart, and about what it really means to keep moving your body forward when everything is telling you to stop. It's a story with some real lessons that you're going to want to hear. So without further ado, let's jump into the episode. Please welcome Barry. All right, Barry, thank you so much for coming on the podcast and being willing to tell your first marathon story. I know you've had some crazy races since your first marathon, but excited to start with, just breaking down the journey and everything. But before we start, thanks for coming on.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm glad to be here. It's a great day.
Awesome. Let's go. Well, let's start from the beginning. Where did movement start for you? Where did running start? How did this this whole journey kind of kick off for you?
Running started for me 4 years ago. Me and my wife leading up to when we started our running journey, we had some infertility issues. We had let ourselves go. We got happy. We got comfortable, being married, we're comfortable with each other. We kind of let ourselves go. And, we decided to start having kids and we were having infertility issues. And of course, along with some of the anatomy issues that my wife was having, with unicornate uterus and PCOS and whatnot, they said another factor would be your weight. So we were like, okay, we're gonna figure this out along the way and, do what we have to do. We were working with IVF to try to have kids and everything. Mm-hmm. And none of that was working. And we kind of just give up, we had let ourselves go. The kids wasn't happening. We just kind of spiritually and physically, we were done, trying to have kids and everything else. So we kind of just started doing our own thing. And then, as soon as we started to, our running journey, we ended up pregnant naturally. So that put Crazy. A kink in that put a kink into everything. Once we gave up and just kind of like, let it be what it's going to be. We ended up pregnant naturally. So that put a halt in everything. We were kind of like, all right, we're just going to focus on this. Sure. But then after we had kids, again, we didn't jump back on the train. We let ourselves go. And then, 4 years ago, we decided, all right, it's time. We got to do something. So we kind of, for the longest time, we put everything else before our health. And then that was our main goal at that time. So I had the wild idea, anything that me and her have ever done when we were dating and everything else, it's never been just dip your toe in the water. We jumped in head first.
All in.
And we did a Spartan race and it wasn't the sprint. It was the super in Black Mountain, North Carolina.
Dang.
And it was... It was, baptism by fire, of course. Sure. So when we started running in Journey, I was just like, around the crown 10K, I wanted to do it whenever we were pregnant. And I ended up, COVID happened during that time. So I ended up not being able to do the race. And then my son was born. So that just a lot going on. So I was like, I've wanted to do this race. I've had to put it on the back burner so many times. I was just like, let's do it. Let's be our goal. This be our milestone. I was like, we started running in May. I was like, we have until Labor Day to get ourselves together and whatnot. So off we went. I found a training plan online and we kind of just started following it loosely. I didn't really know what I was doing,
Sure.
just kind of figuring it out as I go, And we had a learning curve along the way because we were overweight. I ended up with shin splints. It was shin splints. I was going with what people were telling me off of shoes. The shoe battle was an uphill battle. Figuring out what works for me. And Taryn the same way. My wife, she struggled the same way. And at the time, I could barely run a mile in 25 minutes. I was that bad. I was 266 pounds at the time, and we worked our butts off all the way up until Labor Day, and that was our first official like race that we had ever run and like competed in. And I think my time was like a 108, and hers was 115, an hour and 15, 10K. And so we did that from May to Labor Day. We was able to go couch to 10K and knock it out. And ever since then, we've had the itch, and found ultra running after that. And it's been a whirlwind of just looking for the next thing.
Let's go.
That's how we got started.
Love it. Cool. Well, yeah, it all definitely kind of spirals. After you have that one good experience, you're like, okay, well, what, like, what's the next milestone? What else can we do?
Proving to yourself that at the time, like I said, I could barely run a mile in 20 minutes. And then to work myself and like beat myself up for months and just work towards a goal and just relentlessly like want something so bad and to prove that you can do it, so that once you can do that and prove your mind wrong, it's a game changer. It's a enlightening experience.
100%. It's a very addicting feeling too, of just
Yeah,
being like, man,
yes.
what else can I do? Very cool. What were y'all thinking from there? So that was like your first big milestone. Were you thinking half marathon, like the traditional kind of, I'm just going to keep building up in distance, or yeah, what kind of came next?
Well, at that time we had the itch. We were like, okay, well, of course we're gonna be back for Around the Ground every year. Where this is, and it has been like an anniversary race for us. We're like, this is the one that's close to our hearts because this is the one that give us this staple in our life now. Running is a staple in our life. It's something that we do, almost every day of the week. And so we of course we look forward to doing that every year. But my wife, she really hadn't, I think she had no interest in doing any kind of like marathon, half marathon. She was nervous, she was scared. That's still in the back of the mind, like it took this much to get here. How much is it going to take me to get there? Kind of thing. And
Sure.
this is before we started ultras and had the ultra mentality of just going. And we worked ourselves into it. And a lot of the running, other than Around the Crown, we didn't do any other races. I ran a lot of half marathons on my own, just kind of gauging what I feel. And I was like, I'm gonna go for a long run today. And everything was just by feel and no real agenda. It was just me just enjoying the body that I was creating for myself and getting comfortable on my own 2 feet and doing that silent work. That will eventually show up one day when I decide to go and do something else. The
100%.
next thing. And so yeah, and then the other than Around the Crown, we fell into the local trail running community in between when I
Cool.
did, but between when I did the 10th, the Around the Crown 10K and the trial marathon, the local trail running community. And the first I had a buddy that I'd met, Drew, he had gotten me in with a Human Power Movement, and they were putting on a last man standing backyard ultra called Psychoactive. And that was the only race between the 10K and the Charlotte Marathon I did. And like it was a declining clock, started at 7 a.m. declining clock. You had a mile and a half, and every you had every mile and a half at every five loops, the clock would drop a few seconds off the clock. So you start at 20
Oh,
minutes.
wow.
After five loops, it would go down to like 19:30, and then 19:20, then 19:10. It just went down from there.
Dang.
And I made it a half marathon before I had severe cramps. It was one of the hot, unruliest, hottest days in September that year. And I was still learning nutrition at the time, and kind of just wet behind the ears, trying to figure out how that kind of works. And I was severely dehydrated that day apparently, and I cramped up at a half marathon. And I remember just staring at the race director, about a maybe a 20, 30 yards from the finish line, and he was like yelling through a megaphone like 2 minutes, and I'm just looking at him like I'm just struggling, like this is bad, and I made it through there. I finished that loop, and after that, we kind of just hung out and just cheered everybody else on the rest of the day, just to kind of take in the experience. But in between then and Charlotte Marathon, that was the only other race I did. Now between those two, I started. That was my opener for nutrition, and I started working my
Gotcha.
way into dialing that in. I think something's got to give, because I felt like every race, either towards the end, I was cramping in some sort of way, and I was like, I'm not doing enough of something. And I'm a heavy sweater. I sweat, bullets when I'm running. So I had to figure that out, and that's it's still a learning. I feel like every race is different, and something's not going to add up every time. But I'm constantly working on that. But that's been my biggest thing since then, was working on my nutrition leading up to Charlotte Marathon.
Well, I'm sure we can all relate to having that one run where you don't feel well and you're like, okay, I can't do this again. I got to figure out how to do this the right way. But it does. It's always changing. So it is. Fuel is one of the like underestimated trickiest parts of training for your first marathon. It's like trying to dial in what works best for you, because what works best for you might not work best, best for somebody else, and what works for somebody else might not work for you. So it's a tough one. But I guess like from there, when was the decision the decision point where you were like, okay, I'm training for a marathon now. I want to sign up for this race.
It was around, I want to say it was just after Father's Day, before the Charlotte Marathon. Charlotte Marathon's in November, and we were at Father's Day, and I told my wife, I was just like, that this is what I want to do. I want to check off the next big thing. I'm tired of waiting, and kind of telling myself, oh, one day, I'm going to do it. And of course, another thing, I had ran half marathons. I had run a 20-mile run on Memorial Day just for fun. Just for Memorial Day, I'm a part of Team RWB, so I wore, veteran gear, and I did the run 20 miles around our local town here. And I was just like, you know what, I think I'm good to go. It's time to lock in and just quit doing, quit saying I'm gonna do it, and I'm gonna do it. So I came home, I talked to her, and she's like, okay, if that's what you want to do, do it. So I, signed up, and off, off to the races I went. My training at that time was good. I was getting pretty good mileage at the time, anywhere from, I'd say, 28 to 35 miles a week at the time. And that wasn't following any sort of plan. That like I was still flying by feel and just doing what the body wanted and what I felt good doing. But at that time I was like, okay, it's time to lock in. I really got to put the mileage in, and put in the work. I downloaded the Charlotte Marathon training plan, and I saw it, but then I was also doing, what I knew and what I had been doing for the longest time. I was running, usually Monday, Wednesday, Thursdays. I was, doing anywhere from a total of, I would say, 12 to 15 miles over those 3 days, and then I'd use that Saturday as my long run. And I would strength train on those off days.
Where did you peak out first, I guess, before we get to the marathon? Was that 20 miles, or did you have a point in the plan where you hit like a peaking point?
My longest run before leading up to the Charlotte Marathon, I would say the beginning of November, my longest run was probably 20, I think it was 22, 23 miles. Leading up to the marathon, I was doing significantly long runs at the time. Now, two and a half weeks before the race, my longest run was 18 miles. And then I started like to taper down and just, easing into it, easing into the taper, and kind of letting my body, get recalibrated, and kind of, get the juices settled and ready for race day. And this is kind of where the wrenches got thrown in. My son started kindergarten, that year, and so all the new sicknesses came around and everything like that. So I ended up with the flu 2 weeks before the race.
Oh no.
So that really took a hit into my training plan, and I wasn't able to. I felt like my taper was kind of sabotaged, due to that. So then I had a week after recovering from the flu that I was okay. I was doing good. And then the Saturday before race, it was a week. So the Saturday before the Charlotte Marathon happened, I started kind of getting a like a sniffle and that pre-race kind of sickness. I was like, oh, this happens to everybody. I was just like, I'm gonna have this itchy throat. I'm gonna have, something's gonna go on. My body's been under all the stress. I kind of expected. I've heard all the horror stories of what could happen, and so I ended up waking up, and I felt like I had laryngitis. I couldn't talk
Brutal.
on the Monday before race week, and I told my wife. I don't know what's gotten a hold of me. I don't know if it's some fall allergies. I don't know what the deal is. So come Wednesday, I'm getting worse. I'm getting where I'm short of breath, and I'm like, oh my God, I've got COVID. I've got something's not right. So I went to the doctor trying to get ahead of it, and I was like, I've got to do something. I was like, I feel like I'm getting dehydrated because I'm just the sickness, it pulls everything out of you. I ended up with bronchitis that developed into pneumonia.
Oh my gosh, horrible timing.
And yes, and of course, 3 days before the race, I can't defer. And my wife, she's just like, what are you gonna do? And she, and at the, of course, she's a nurse, so she's like, I don't suggest it. And even my doctor, she was like, you got what this weekend? And I was just like, yeah, I've got the Charlotte Marathon this weekend. And she was just like, yeah, I don't know what to tell you. She goes, from this is your doctor telling you, don't. I would not. My wife telling me, I would not. She was like, but my daughter was like, I'm gonna give you some antibiotics. Here's an inhaler, and she goes, be careful. And I was okay, and at that time, there was holes in my cell. I was feeling good, and then everything was being ripped out from under me. And I was just like, this is the worst. I put in all this work, all this training, just for this to happen. And to me, stubborn me, I was just like, I put all this in. I've got to do this thing, and I had just paid. I think at the time it was like $175,
Yeah,
and I was
it's
like,
not cheap.
this money I'm not going to get back. That's money I don't want to lose. And
Right.
so I told my wife, I was like, all right, I'm going to do it. I was just like, it's probably not my best decision, but at this point in time, it's just going to be what it's going to be. And she goes, oh, I just want you to be careful, she went with me on race day morning. I lined up in my corral. And I think at the time I had set my pace at like 11:30 was my corral, around in there. So I lined up, I had this gut wrenching, like, I want this to be a good experience. I'm just gonna take it for what it is. I'm gonna do my best. I'm gonna do this thing. And off I went. I made it. My pace was at a good, I would say about a 12:30, all the way through miles 13, 14. I made it to the half marathon mark, and I was feeling okay. I was, struggling to an extent. About every mile and a half, I was having to puff on that albuterol inhaler,
Yeah, I was gonna say breathing. Gosh,
yeah.
it's yeah.
To kind of open everything up. I was having some pain in my chest. It felt like the walls of my chest were already kind of in. It just
Oof.
it was everything was tight.
Yeah.
So I was already behind my goal pace, and I was like, okay, I'm seeing the pacers going along. I'd already dropped behind the 11:30s. Here's the 12s, and then here's the 12:30. So I hung out around the 12:30s up until about mile 14. And about that time, I'm sure you've heard Charlotte Marathon is a notoriously hilly course. And I feel like those hills showed up at when I started to feel my worst, unfortunately. And so around mile 15, I started getting like the stabbing, burning sensation in my lungs. And I puffing on the inhaler, and albuterol, it's naturally, it'll raise your heart rate. So where I typically would on like my runs, sitting in like 140s, 150s, I was sitting thresholds 180s, 90s, for the majority of my race. I started to have a down moment when I heard the police cars and the kind of the sweepers coming up
Sure,
behind me
sure, sure.
at around mile 16. So I started to slow down. I was like, all right, I gotta walk a minute. I gotta figure out what's going on, figure out if there's anything I can do, take inventory, you know, what can I do to fix this? You know, walk for a second, get my heart rate down, and maybe lay off the inhaler for a minute and let's see what we can do. So that came down, but then I'm also having to try to stay ahead of the trailer that's picking up cones for the course at this point in time. And this is at my, you
Sure.
know, 17, 18. I still got a race ahead of me. And at this point in time, they're pulling up cones and everything at mile 18, and I'm chasing a Dodge Ram carrying a trailer with some people in the back of it. And I chase this trailer, and I'm like, as long as I can stay with this trailer, they're not far behind the 6 hour mark pacers. They're not far behind them. They were trailing them. So I was like, I just got to keep up with this trailer, and then I'll try to conserve energy and then gas myself, you know, when it's time to pass up
Yeah.
this trailer. So around mile 19, that's when my body was like, you're not going to win this. You're not without some severe complications of some sort. And at about mile 19, you're about the furthest away from the finish line at this point, and it's a big turnaround at that point. So I'm almost to the turnaround, and I start having blurry vision. I feel like I'm hallucinating, like the road's moving and I'm kind of just staggering along. And
Gosh, yeah.
yeah, I start tearing up, and I'm like, I don't know what's wrong with my body. Like, I don't know what I'm gonna do. So at this point in time, I step to the side of the road for a second, and this trailer is just a fleeting memory. And I called my wife, and I was like, I'm struggling. I was like, I don't know what I'm gonna do. I was just like, I feel like I can't see. Everything's blurry. I can't see. And I was like, I can't breathe, and my chest hurts. And she's like, okay, I'm coming, I'm coming. So at this point, she
Yeah.
thinks I'm she in her books, I've DNF'd. And in my
Right.
mind, I've DNF'd. But at the same time, I was like, I'm gonna get to a spot, and I'm gonna let you know where I'm at. So I'm going along, I am bawling my eyes out, walking down this road. You know, the course is closed down still at the time, and I'm walking down the street by myself, shuffling, trying to still be as quick as I can. And I pass one of the start to finish the bib zappers, and
Oh,
this lady,
sure. Yeah.
yeah, the lady, she goes, hey, are you still on course? And I'm still. And she goes, well, she's, I'm just gonna let you know that the cutoff is in like 10 minutes. So if you get back here, and we're closed down, the course is gonna be closed down. You're gonna have to follow normal traffic laws, and you're not gonna be able to be on the road. And I said, okay. I said, is the finish line gonna be there? And she goes, well, honey, I can't tell you that. She goes, but probably not. And I was just
Gosh,
like,
what a
I was.
heartbreaking feeling.
So, you know, everything just kept, the dominoes kept falling.
Right.
I was like, okay, I appreciate you, you know, have a good one. And I started shuffling. And at this time, I'm shuffling at like a 13 minute, you know, just my feet barely coming off the ground. Like, my chest feels so heavy. And I get to the furthest point, the turnaround, and there's another bib zapper, and he's at that's at mile 19. And he's like, hey, buddy, are you still running? And I said, yeah. And he goes, are you gonna? I said, I'm just trying to make my way back to civilization at this point, and but I'm staying on the course. And he's okay. He goes, what's your bib number? And he took a picture of me, and then he got on his phone. He goes, all right, buddy. He goes, I turned on the thing. He goes, just come past here so it'll zap your bib. I was like, okay. And he was on his phone texting, and I didn't think nothing of it. And so then I hit that point at when I get around, that lady's gone. There's traffic now flowing down this road that once was closed.
Sure.
And they had our those the guys who were on the trailer had already pulled the signs for go this way, this way. So I'm on my phone and I pull up the race map on PDF and I'm navigating through Charlotte at this point now. The race map on PDF form on my phone, zooming in, seeing which cross street I'm at, and I'm like, okay, I
Oh
gotta
my
go this
gosh,
way.
yeah. Yeah.
So I'm on my way to mile 20, and I call my wife, and she's like, she goes, hey, I'm trying to get to you. She goes, but I gotta go. My phone's about to die. And I was like, okay. I said, well, I'm moving. And she said, okay. So in my mind, she's on her way. And I continue what I'm doing. I have another heartbreaking moment where I just want to sit on, I just want to sit on the curb, and I'm just gonna call this thing quits. You know, this is not the experience that I wanted. This is just, I was feeling sorry for myself. And at that point in time, that was my very, very first experience with the pain cave of just, I was in the dark, I was in the depths of it, and I did not know what to do. And it was either, you know, keep moving and get to a safe spot, my wife come pick me up, or you know, or just sit on this curb and feel sorry for myself. I was like, I knew, and I started thinking, you know, I knew what I was getting into. I knew I wasn't in the best form with the pneumonia and bronchitis, but this is the race you got. This is the race, you know, that was given to you, and you're gonna have to make the most of it. So drive myself up, you know, I took a another puff of that inhaler, and I was like, okay, we're just gonna keep going. And I didn't know where my wife was, you know, at this point in time. So I pushed along, and about mile 22, I call her, and it's no answer, no answer. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm still on course. I'm following the course map, along, following all the streets, and I get along, and I get to the spot. At this point, I've got about a 10K lift, and we're on a greenway, or I'm on a greenway at this point, just off the, you know, main streets that the Charlotte Marathon runs down. And I'm shuffling along, everything from the waist down feels great. I was like, my legs are in it, just some my lungs are not where they're supposed to be. And about this time, I see my wife running over the horizon on the greenway. And she comes running up to me, and we embrace. She cries because she's worried to death about me. And I cry because that's the first person I've seen that, in my mind, gives a darn about me. You know, nobody knows me from Adam. I'm just some guy. And they're like, oh, you know, this guy's sucking. You know, sucks to be this guy, you know, kind of thing. And, you know, I'm running along busy city traffic in Charlotte. And they're like, this guy's already supposed to be done. Like, what is he doing? And, we embrace, you know, I cry for a minute, and then she's like taking inventory. She's like, are you okay? You know, I was just like, my chest. I was like, it literally feels like somebody's got a hot knife in my sternum right now. And she goes, okay. She goes, well, you know, what do you want to do? And you know, I had already been having this talk in my mind, with myself on the way, just, you know, kicking myself and calling, you know, you're Barry, you're an idiot. You're an idiot. You shouldn't have done this, you know, kind of thing. But I had crawled out of the pain cave, and I had told her, I said, would you be mad if I finished this? And she was like, absolutely not. I was just like, 'cause if I don't, I'm going to hate myself. I was like, because I'm not a quitter. I'm not a quitter by any means. And I've come this far. I've done the work. I've just been dealt a bad hand today. And I was like, so, but I'm gonna be mad at myself if I don't. She goes, we can go. She goes, but go easy. So at this point, she had ran a 10K to get to me. Yeah. And what I didn't know at the time is she couldn't get my Jeep out of the parking deck because of traffic and road closures.
Oh, I
So
see.
was just like, okay, well, I just need to get to him. If I can get to him, we can adjust, we can adapt and pivot from there, whatever we gotta do. I just gotta make it to him. Well, then her phone was dying, and nobody could get her charger. She stopped at all these different buildings. They were like, we don't have anything for you, kind of, you know. So she just started asking people, hey, which way is the route, you know, kind of thing. Couldn't do like me and pull up on her phone, you know, where it was. So she finally found somebody. She was like, are you looking for a runner? And she goes, yeah. She goes, my husband's out here somewhere. And then the other girl's like, yeah, my husband's out here, you know, da, da, da. So they got talking. She goes, I think it's this way. So my wife, she starts running that way. And that's when she finds the greenway and starts backtracking the opposite way, and that's when we meet up. But when we started going, I was like started shuffling. She had a backpack on with, you know, some stuff in it, and we kind of just started shuffling along. And she goes, "Do you know where you're going?" I said, "I've just been following the map. You know, this is the way we got to go." So we're navigating crosswalks, waiting on traffic lights and all this different stuff. You know, at this point, I look at the watch, my watch, and I'm already like 6 hours and 20 minutes in to the Charlotte Marathon.
Yeah.
I kept looking. I was like, man, this sucks. This sucks. You know, this is my worst, by far, so far, my worst race experience ever. And we navigated all the streets, and we get up to Center City, and we're right there, like Martin Luther King Boulevard in Center City, Charlotte. And this couple comes walking by with their half marathon medals on. They've already showered. They're going out to eat dinner or something. They're wearing their medals, and they're like, "Hey, man, you know, good job today. Da, 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 you know, how'd you do? How'd you do?" And I'm like dripping sweat. My eyes are watery and everything. And I'm like, "I'm not done." And they're like,
Yeah.
"You're still running?" And I'm like, "Yeah." I was just like, I've had a day. I'm on my way. And they're like, "It's the finish line's that way. The finish line." I said, "I'm going. I'm going." So here we go. I pick up a shuffle again. We're going along, and I make it right by Truist Field. And there's people who are a part of like different run clubs, like Mad Miles, The Soul, and stuff that are packing up their stuff and they're leaving. And they notice that my giddy up is a little different. They see my bib, but they don't see a medal. And they see my wife running with me. And at this point, the adrenaline has come back in to where, like, I'm so excited to finish this. I'm so excited to be at the point where I can say that I did this. And I start getting into where, like, madman mentality just hit me. And I'm at this point probably running, you know, a 10-minute mile at this point. For the last
Yeah.
mile and a half. And I've got just random people who were like, "Oh my goodness, this dude's still running." They're cheering me on, kind of thing, going along, and they're running by them. And I get up by Truist Field and I take a right. And one of the Charlotte Marathon ambassadors, she had been on the phone getting texts from all of the start to finish bib
Oh,
zappers
stop it. Oh, that's so sweet.
who were saying, "You still got a guy on course, and he said that he's not stopping." And so she was the all that was left. The arch was gone, the bib zapper was gone. It was just a purple strip on the ground. And she was sitting on the curb with a couple other people with a box full of medals. And as soon as I came around that curb and she saw me coming, she jumped off the curb, stood at the middle of that purple thing in the middle of the street, and just held up the medal and just started screaming, you know, "Go, go." And at that point, I got like just all the emotions. I started squalling before I even got to her. And as soon as I got to her, I about knocked her over, giving her a hug. Like she gave me a hug. She was crying. I was crying. You know, it was a hard fought day. And I ended up finishing that first marathon with 7 hours and 21 minutes. The what felt like the hardest and longest 7 hours and 21 minutes of my life.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know what I would have done if I would have done this earlier in life, or if I would have done it later. This race experience is one that I'll carry with me forever, because that was my first introduction to the Pain Cave. You know, I always tell people, you know, I've been in the Pain Cave. I've been deep in it. But at one point thought I was going to die in it, you know. And when I came out, I took some things with me, and you know, I just added those things to my tool belt as resources for those times when I feel low. You know, when I'm doing an ultra marathon and I feel like, man, I just want to be done. I'm like, "Hey, you remember that time? You know, you remember that time you about died on, you know, Graham Street? in Charlotte, in Charlotte. Yeah, this is not that time. You're good. Quit feeling sorry for yourself. Suck it up. It's been worse, type of thing. So that was, I don't feel like I had the run of the mill marathon experience. But at the same time, I feel like I earned a lot more that day than I did running 26.2 miles. It wasn't the medal. That one was a lesson in just grit and perseverance for me of just pulling myself out of the depths and keep it going.
Oh gosh, what a crazy day. I'm even tearing up thinking about the community of the just the handful of people that continue to show up, and your wife pushing you through and pulling you through when things got really hard, and obviously you picking yourself up off the ground, up off the curb when, gosh, I know that feeling. I know a lot of runners know that feeling so well, of just that decision point. Do I keep going? Do I not? Am I making the right choice? Am I not making the right choice? It's we learn a lot about ourselves, I think, in those moments where we have to make that decision to keep going. But you did. And I guess it sounds like the answer is no, but I do want to ask, when you crossed the finish line, was there any regret? Was there any regret of finishing out the experience, given that, you were having health issues and you were in the pain cave and all of that?
I do not believe. Well, looking back at it, if you would have asked me during the race, I would have told you I'm a complete idiot. There's no way that I should be out here. I don't want to be out here. But crossing that finish line and sitting there and reflecting on knowing that I put in the work leading up to the marathon, knowing that I put in the work, and knowing that I was just given a bad hand, even though it was a pretty crazy hand that I was dealt that day. But looking back on it, I would say the answer is no, because showing up for myself and regardless of what my mind and everything else was telling me, and knowing that I can be in those low points, that I can survive those low points, and that, I mean, you hear it all the time, the body is its capabilities so outweigh and are just so much more than what the mind wants. Your mind wants you to want you to shut off at the halfway point, but your body has so many, many, many more miles and things that it has to offer that you just have to access. You have to be able to turn that switch off. And the Charlotte Marathon, that was my moment of clarity where I learned officially how to shut it off. It was, in a way, it kind of felt like, it sounds cliche, but like you find in like a superhero movie when they have their down moments and you think it's a wrap for them, and then they find that new sense of clarity, they find the strength that they need to push it through, to carry on. That was my moment, I felt like, to where I was like a switch flipped in me, where it was like, yeah, but you're still moving. You're not dead. You're still moving, and you're still capable. You just got to put the one foot in front of the other, and move forward. And you've heard, I'm sure you've heard it from other runners. You've heard it from, influencers and whatnot. But if you're going to fail, fail forward. And in that moment, I might have been failing. I didn't run my sub 6 hour marathon. I didn't run it super fast, and I failed at that. But I failed forward, and I gained a lot more out of that race than I feel I would have, if I'd done the race under 6 hours, I would have felt accomplished. I trained for the marathon. I run sub 6 hour, 26.2 miles, and I would have had that to, hang up and been proud of, and I would still be proud of it today. But to have run 26.2 miles under the condition that I was in, and being able to pull myself out of the hole, and the lessons I learned, I felt like, as bad as it was, as much as it sucked, I got my money's worth way more way than one,
Absolutely.
and that's something I take with me, and that's by far one of my favorite experiences since I started running.
Yeah, I mean, it really puts everything in perspective. Whether the marathon goes great or the marathon doesn't, like, there's always going to be those points where we don't want to finish the race. And like, you're right. Like, making a call to make a doctor's appointment feels so small, or like, you know, just like all the day-to-day things feel small. But then when you have things come up in the future, you're so much more equipped to tackle it, because you're like, man, if I can do anything. I've proven that to myself. And this is just another thing that I gotta, you know, figure out how to get around. So yeah, it really does prove a lot to yourself, and it sounds like that was on display tenfold for you.
And that's what I tell people now. You know, since then I've started a run club, and I've got a lot of new runners and a lot of new people who are into trail running and ultra and wanting to learn about ultra marathons and whatnot. And that's something that I learned at the Charlotte Marathon, and I tell everybody, I'm like, everybody's got a plan until they don't. And when you get that kick in the teeth, it's how you when alteration finds you, how you pivot. You know, the journey's not over. Is there's many different ways. There are different branches you can take. It's just which one do you choose to do? And all I can say is that make sure whatever one you choose, it's just not that way. You know, it doesn't need to be backwards. It just needs to be forward. Always forward, no matter what you do. When the kick in the teeth happens, just keep pushing forward. Doesn't which matter which way you go, there's still a way to accomplish the task.
Yeah, I love that. That's perfect. Well, cool. Well, I know we've talked a little bit of you've kind of hinted about some of your ultra stuff, and I know that's been very much your world post that first marathon. So yeah, how did the lessons, how did the first marathon experience kind of manifest into this ultra side of the things?
That was up until Charlotte Marathon. That was the furthest I had been, was 26.2 miles. You know, I told you that I ran, you know, 20, 23 miles before the race. And then I had leaning back into the trail culture and the group of people that I had found, and just loving the trail community and the craziness of ultra marathons that I had no idea about when I first started running. And I was very interested in me and my wife both were very intrigued on the thought of going that far and being in the woods. We had done a lot of hiking, you know, when we first started dating. You know, we loved going and visiting parts of the Appalachian Trail and going up to Asheville, going, you know, Black Mountain, all these places, and going hiking. But we're like, you know, we love running now. Running is such a part of us. And you mean to tell me there's a group of folks out there who are they're in the woods, but they're combining it with what we do, and they're running. So
You're like, sign me up. Yeah.
that was kind of our thing, and we fell into a great community, Charlotte community, local community here of people that we all tend to sit together. There's not one race that you won't see one or two or, you know, 12 of us at where we're all doing the same thing. But the Charlotte Marathon was my first tick into long distance running. And once I learned that there was distances outside of 26.2, you know, taking it back to what I said in the beginning, there's nothing that we've ever done, you know, just dipping our toe in the water. We're jumping head first into it. You know, I'm like, okay, well, what's next? You know, oh, 50K? You know, 50? Oh, okay. You know, let's do that. And
Yeah.
what's funny is I did the Charlotte Marathon in November, and then my first 50K was in December. So I did a
Oh,
50K.
wow.
I
Wow.
did a, and it was, and it was a, I'm sure you know Yeti Trail Runners. They do
Sure,
a
yeah.
yeah they do a virtual they do a virtual 50K. What it does is it forces you to come out off of running to come into comfort and start over and over and over again, and you do it for 24 hours. So
Crazy.
my first 50K was, you're running, I think it's 5.2 miles every 4 hours. So you're in over 24 hours. After that 24 hours, that equals everything's a 50K. So we did it in the frigid cold of December. So we would run our mile, our 5 miles, and by the time we got done running, we would step off the trail for an hour, eat something, and then we're back out in the cold again. So you're forced to
Oh,
come into
that's
that.
brutal. Yeah.
So that was my first, that was my first 50K that we did. And then in February, was it was our first jump and attempt at 100 miles. We did a Yeti Dark Anchor in Jekyll Island, Georgia, and it's a 34-hour race. And of course, you hit all your tick marks. There's go as far as you can is the goal. But medals are at 50 mile, 100K, 50K, 50K, 100K, and then 100 miles, and higher. So when we w that was our next big tick mark that we were gonna do. I was like, okay, well, we're gonna chase 100 miles. We're gonna just go see what we can do. We'd been putting in all kinds of training. A lot of miles have been put in, counting the 50 Ks and whatnot after the Charlotte Marathon. So we went to Jekyll Island, and we're chasing 100 miles. And I feel like my wife had her Charlotte Marathon experience
Oh no.
at Dark Anchor. She was able to knock out her 50 miles in 34 hours. She had a lot going on that day, but that was where I was able to pick up my first 100K. Had some IT band issues, so I 100 miles I slowed down a lot, so 100 miles was out of the question to beat the cutoff to meet that requirement. But yeah, picked up my first 100K down there in Georgia.
Very cool. What do you think? I mean, you mentioned a couple of things, but like, what do you think it is about the ultra community or the ultra distance or anything around it that's different or like keeps you more motivated or coming back to it different than the like a road marathon?
If you ask some of my friends, they're gonna say the snacks, but no, that
The
I
snacks are better in the ultra
yeah
community. I will give you
yeah
that for sure.
we you're not finding too many people eating Little Debbie's on the side of
No, right.
the Charlotte Marathon. No, I think it's just people, like, if you run Charlotte Marathon, 26.2 miles, and it's over. You run 26.2 miles, it's over. The ultra distances, you're out there for days. You're out there for 50K. Most 50Ks are 10 hours. So it's that pushing yourself to. It's almost like looking forward to something. Like, okay, I get to be out here doing something I love all day long, and I know that this is just seeing what I can do and how fast I can do it. And then you got some that is just, I just want to do it. I don't care how fast I get there. I'll get there when I get there. It's a different, I feel like it's a different mindset of training. If training is one, and just the testing yourself. I know there's some road runners that I talk to, and they're like, no, you guys are crazy. Like, there's no way that I want to be out there in the woods that long. I don't want to be on my feet that long. I don't want to do, kind of thing. I guess it's, I'm always up for the test. For one, I love being on the trail. I love being out in the woods, and around, around that community. But yeah, just testing myself and just saying I can look back on it. I'm one of these runners. I'm not a fast runner. I've never been a fast runner. Don't know that I ever will be a fast runner. I know that I probably could take the steps and the training to upgrade my skill set to get there, but that's just never been an interest to me. Mine's always been just knocking out these extraordinary tasks and saying, hey, I went this far. I did this. And who cares how fast I did it? But it's, how far can I go? Like, I don't care how fast you can do it. How far can you go? That's the type of mindset that a lot of us have. It's great. Those people, there's a few people that I run with who could run a 50K in 5 hours. So they're running a trail 50K faster than some people can do a marathon,
Yeah, that's crazy.
So it's just different mindsets, but I think the distance is addicting.
Yeah.
By far my favorite races to run are 50Ks. 100 miles are nice to chase, but 50Ks are my favorite because you get to go home at the end of the day, but you get to accomplish a lot in that,
Yeah.
in that time frame. You get the benefits of a marathon, but you also get the satisfaction of saying, I did 31 miles, today. A lot of people, they wouldn't even fathom doing that much in a day. So I wouldn't even say it's like a bragging thing. It's just that self-satisfaction of being able to say you have built a body that can just wake up on a Saturday and go and run 31
Yeah.
miles or, 62 miles, whatever it may be. Yeah, it's just an awesome thing. It's a great community, great group of people. And
Yeah.
I've met a lot of good friends out there on the trail.
Love it. Yeah, it's not a brag, but if somebody asks what you did that day, it's something
Yeah.
that you'll share for sure.
People at work think I'm crazy.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, people at work think I'm insane.
Oh, I
Oh,
know.
you're.
My favorite question from my non-runner coworkers is like, "Well, hey, what'd you do this morning?" And I'm like, "Hey, 6 miles, 10 miles, what, like
Yeah.
it's just such a I'm waiting for that question." But
Yeah, my boss always comes by my office and he's just like, "So, did you run 100 miles this weekend?" I'm like, "No, but I did run 31 on Saturday." And he's just like,
Yeah.
"You're special. You're special."
That's so funny. Well, cool. Well, let's get into some of our fun questions here about fuel and shoes. But before I ask those questions, I wanted to ask, I'm sure there's some crazy races out there that you've got your eye on. Do you have anything that's on your bucket list or to-do races that you'd love to run?
Oh, I mean, a dream race is, of course, I would love to do something like Cocodona 250. Of course, that's always a dream
Sure.
of mine. The expensive opportunity that I would love to do. The other one, my wife thinks I'm crazy, but I've got a new fascination with Badwater 135.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Yeah. But no, I think my small goal that I would like to do one day, and I call it small, but it's like if you go to like lo there's local races, then you got your name brand races, what I like to call them. I would like to do Leadville 100.
Cool.
So that's always I love that race. Out of all of them, it's a beautiful race. It's a good challenge, and it has a lot of good things to offer. My plan that I have a 50K coming up this weekend. This next not
Oh, exciting.
yeah. On the 8th, I have a 50K coming up.
Cool.
So it's an 8-hour endurance event. So it's 8 hours, 3.5 mile loop. Run as many loops as you can within the 8 hours. So I'm looking to try to PR my 50K.
Let's go.
So my it was at my last 50K in March was 9 hours and 10 minutes. So I'm trying to do sub 8 hours on this one. So I'll be pushing it on this one. But who knows? I'm just out there to have a good time. But in the back of my mind,
Yeah.
that's what I want to do. So I'm just out there to have a good time. I've toyed with the idea of returning for Charlotte Marathon next year.
Okay,
So
yeah.
and getting my redemption, get my true marathon story, and beating the clock on that one, at least
Yeah.
coming, at least redempting myself because I knew I was ready for that race,
Yeah.
so that's one I've got my eye on. That one, and I do plan on returning to Dark Anchor in Georgia come February, chasing 100 miles again. So
Cool.
got a lot of
Lots of
planning.
exciting things.
Yeah,
Yeah.
a lot of planning, a lot of stretching I got to do, work on these
Let's
IT
go.
bands. But yeah, my goal is to get my first 100-mile buckle next year.
Let's go. That's so exciting. Awesome.
Yeah,
Well, cool. Well, yeah, I got some fun questions to wrap us up. We always talk about fuel and shoes, so I always give the disclaimer before we talk about a lot of this stuff that like fueling and shoes are your own journey. We even talked about it a little bit on this episode that like try everything and anything when it comes to fuel. It's so individual to you, so find out what's best for you. And then same thing with shoes. Go to your local running store to test out that return policy. Find out what works best for you. But when it comes to fueling, what have you liked over time?
Oh, my go-to electrolyte. I do BPN electrolytes. They're great. They have never done me wrong. I've just had to adjust how much I take just because I do sweat a lot. So I've had to adjust that and kind of take add additional to what I was normally taking. I was not taking nowhere near as enough. That's why I was getting a lot of cramps. But yeah, as far as that electrolytes, that's what I do. And if I'm running on the trail, it's garbage when I'm on the trail.
Yeah.
I'll start off with Go Gels and the G1M Sport, the bicarb, carbs and electrolytes. That's what I'll start my races off with. But anything usually over anything over 15 miles, that's when I start pulling out, the Snicker bars, the
Yeah.
Uncrustables, and that kind of thing. As far as fuel goes. But yeah, trail snacks are my go-to, for that kind of thing. It's clean eating there for the most part up until race day. But then race day comes, it's a different story. You got to take what you
Yeah, what are we
can.
gonna do? Yep.
Now, as far as my shoes, my road running shoes that I used to be Team Hoka, big Team Hoka, but because I pronate a lot and those shoes are so soft, it was they would wear really unevenly and it would cause me to have some discomfort, which would lead to some shin splints. So my new tried and true that I road running shoe that I've ran hundreds of miles in so far and thoroughly enjoy with no issues is the Glycerin Brooks Glycerin 23s.
Nice.
They are a great shoe. They feel really good. And I was Team Ultra for my trail running shoes, but I was in the Army and my knees, they're not the best as they used to be. So having
Sure.
zero drop and feeling the trail a lot more than I typically would, my knees weren't really taken to that too kindly. So I tried out the new Brooks Ghost trail shoe, and
Cool.
it has been a game changer. Would recommend that shoe hand over fist to anybody if they're looking for a good trail shoe. It has got the same platform as the Glycerin, but of course it's got the sturdier toe cap and some grip for the trail. So
Cool.
yeah.
Awesome. Well, sweet. Well, thanks for sharing that. I haven't tried any. Well, I've tried a pair of Brooks Trail shoes. They weren't the Ghost, but I'll have to check. You said the Ghost, right?
Yeah, the ghost trail.
Nice. Okay, cool. I'll have to check them out. Awesome. Well, sweet. Well, thank you again for coming on and telling your story. I know I've said this a million times on this show, but I love the stories where the first marathon goes awesome and it works out perfectly and we're happy and the running journey kicks off from there. But I have a special place for the stories that don't go your way and you figure out a way to make it happen anyways and kind of how that manifests into the rest of your journey. Because I do think there's something that we can take from every race, good, bad, ugly, all of it. So just appreciate you coming on and telling your story. This is awesome.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It was a good time being here, and yeah, hopefully somebody takes from my story and just they know that don't count yourself out. It's never over. It's never over. There's always just that next step. Just make sure it's forward.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the My First Marathon Podcast. For more stories, tips, and resources, head to myfirstmarathonpodcast.com. And if you want access to bonus episodes, exclusive resources, and extra support for your training, make sure you check out the community at myfirstmarathonpodcast.com/exclusives. You can also follow along with us on socials, Instagram and TikTok. That's at myfirstmarathonpod. If you want to follow along with my personal journey, that's at tay.says. Whether you're training, recovering, or just thinking about signing up, you belong here. I'm so excited that you're here, and we'll see you on the next one.